Cantrell versus Commonwealth, Mr. Gollenbeck and Ms. Johnson. Do you wish to reserve any time for rebuttal, Mr. Gollenbeck?
5 minutes.
Pardon?
5 minutes.
5 minutes. You may begin.
May it please the court, I'm Robert Gallenbeck. I represented Mr. Cantrell in the trial court and here. This case involves two convictions of possession of Schedule II substances. What happened in this case was that he was arrested for DWI. He was taken to the hospital to get tests done, and the police, under their procedure, seized his vehicle. The Richlands Police Department has a policy that if you are arrested for DWI and the car is on the street, that they are going to seize it and impound it.
There's nothing wrong with that, is there?
No.
Okay.
I agree that their policy with regard to impoundment is perfect.
Do they have a policy regarding inventory of an impounded vehicle?
They don't. All they say is that an inventory shall be conducted.
Well, isn't that a policy?
No, sir, I don't. I think the policy, for instance, in the Florida case, the policy has to include things as to whether you're going to look into closed containers, and it has to make sure that it says the officer may not have unfettered discretion. So,
well,
I mean,
the policy,
just,
I think, you know, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth here, but it seems to me if you read Opperman and Katie versus Dombrowski, the U.S. Supreme Court cases that deal with inventory searches, the policy is designed, the policy requirement, I should say, is designed to ensure that what the police are doing is exercising their community caretaking function as opposed to their criminal investigative function. In other words, they're protecting their own interests from liability issues when they do an inventory search of a vehicle to make sure that, you know, they're not later, somebody's not complaining that some police officer stole their stereo or whatever might have been in the car.
I completely agree.
As opposed to using it as a pretext for a warrantless search. And so the policy, it seems to me, the policy requirement need only be sufficient to ensure that the motivation is not pretextual for something else, although that's a separate requirement,
right,
as well.
And that's not here in this case. There are no parameters of what you can do during the search.
But you won that point because the judge suppressed the evidence found in the closed container. So it seems to me the Wells case that you mentioned, Florida v. Wells, that's simply a question of when a police officer could look into a closed container, and there must be some type of a policy as to that. But an inventory search is, it's kind of in and of itself a directive to the police. I mean, it is look, see what's in the car and write it down.
Well, in this particular case, the officer did more than that. And I think in Wells,
what more did he do than look to see what was in the car?
Number one, he didn't take an inventory, a true inventory. He admitted afterwards that if anything,
the police provided.
No,
didn't he?
No, sir.
He didn't?
No. What he said is he went in and he took a piece of notepaper and wrote down what he could about what he found. He also said that he was looking for contraband when he went into the vehicle.
Well, he said he looks to see what's valuable in the car. He also looks for weapons and contraband.
And he failed to list many valuable items, and he specifically said that if he were asked if anything had been stolen from the car based on his inventory, he couldn't tell you. So, I mean, when you
get that makes it a lousy inventory search. Doesn't this make it an unconstitutional
one? In Wells, what they said is what you have to do is limit the officer's discretion so that what you truly get is an inventory and only an inventory. And that didn't happen here. If I could just say a couple of points of where I think I should concentrate. That is, what you have here, the officer said he was not aware of any departmental policy regarding inventories. The officer said he was not trained in inventories. He said he was looking for contraband as part of the search. The lieutenant at
In your strongest point, it seems to me, the third prong of Opperman, which is that you're it's not a pretext, and when the officer says, I'm looking for contraband, it kind of suggests that it is a pretext?
I think that is true as to the officer himself, but I think that may be a wrong focus, and that's what I want to get to. The lieutenant said there was no policy on inventories. The lieutenant also said it's up to each officer when he conducts an inventory to use his own discretion and do what he should. Well, that is not a policy, and it's a matter of police policy. And I think the judge of the court, I think there's misdirection here, and I think the judge of the court relied on the wrong thing. He said that he didn't see anything improper about the way the officer conducted the search, and that's what he affirmed for.
But let me ask you about a fairly fundamental point here. The trial court made a finding that there was a policy in place in refusing to grant the motion to suppress. Isn't that a factual finding that we have to give deference to unless there's no evidence to support it?
Depends on how you look at the case, and that's one of the things I want to get into. I think, yes, if you think he applied the law properly. No, if you don't think he applied the law properly. And if you read the court's decision, what the judge said in his letter opinion is that he never found, actually, that there was a policy. What he found was that the officer's procedure was not flawed, and that and because of that, there was a policy. Also, the Commonwealth's argument is that the officer here used his standard procedure. However, it's not established. He used his established procedure.
But we don't know what that is.
Well, and not just that. I think he told us what it is, Judge. But beyond that, his standard procedure doesn't matter. What matters is whether the police department has a standard procedure. They could have 20 officers and have 20 different standard procedures applied based on what the lieutenant said. The lieutenant said, and I don't see how the Commonwealth gets by this, both the lieutenant and the officer say there's no policy. The lieutenant clearly says his officers...
So your position is then there's no evidence to support the trial judge's conclusion based on the...
And that the trial judge and the Commonwealth are concentrating on the wrong thing. They're concentrating on what the officer did to say there's a policy, as opposed to whether there actually is a policy. This search...
Wasn't there testimony that they were told to impound the car and inventory?
Yes.
Isn't that a policy? It might not be written down, or it might not be very explicit, but it is a policy that in every case they are to conduct an inventory.
And the whole line of cases that we have here say that during the inventory there has to be a policy that prescribes what the officer can do during the inventory.
But those cases only deal with closed containers. Those cases don't deal with, do you look under the seat, or do you look behind the seat or whatever?
I agree entirely, but there is no policy in the Richlands to say you can do it for public safety.
Well, actually, we've been throwing the word policy around. I think in our King case, the words we actually used were standard police procedures. So,
and there are no
police procedures that are followed each and every time, and I hear you arguing that isn't the case here.
Well, the lieutenant himself said, I leave it up to the officers to do what they think is right. And he also said that what they normally do for an inventory is in their notepad. They take out a piece of paper and write down what they think they should. That is not a procedure. Both the Commonwealth and
well,
the judge...
Well, it's a procedure. I'm not sure it's standard police procedure, but go ahead.
But the Commonwealth and the judge both concentrate on, was this officer's search constitutional the way it was conducted? That doesn't matter. I don't believe it was. I disagree with the judge on that. But even if he was correct, he misapplied the law, because the question is whether the Richlands Police Department had a standard procedure. Otherwise, there could have been 20 standard procedures applied.
All right.
I think I'm to my rebuttal time.
You are. Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Victoria Johnson. I represent the Commonwealth.
You got your work cut out for you on this one.
I'm sorry?
No, you got your work cut out for you on this one.
Well, the record is what it is, Your Honor, but
well, let's start with the standardized police. I mean, it's conceded that this was car was properly impounded, and the intent at least was to do an inventory search. I think your opponent's conceding that point. So let's start with the standardized police procedures. You got to deal with Ford against Wells, which basically says that the standardized criteria must be sufficiently limiting to prevent the officer from using it as a ruse for general rummaging in order to discover incriminating evidence. So how do we deal with that here?
Well, Your Honor, the trial court found, as a matter of fact, that a standardized criteria existed.
There has to be evidence to support that, and we've got evidence from the lieutenant, as has been pointed out. He lets his officers do whatever the heck they want to do, you know.
Well, that goes to the scope of the search, Your Honor. And I think that the testimony at trial, or pardon me, at the suppression hearing, was that there was no formal training as to how to do a inventory search. However, the officer who actually conducted the search said, well, based on my training and experience, this is what I do. I think that the reasonable inference to be drawn from that testimony is that while there might not have been a formal, let's learn how to do an inventory search today.
Here are the cases I think you got to deal with. You got Banks versus United States, which is a mm-hmm. Fourth Circuit case. Obviously, it's not binding on this court, but it's certainly persuasive authority that says that standardized criteria relating to inventory searches are often codified by a police department into a uniform inventory search policy. We certainly have no codification of any.
I cited that case, Your Honor.
And then we have Matthews, also a Fourth Circuit case from 2009. The existence of standardized criteria may be proven by reference to either rules and regulations or testimony regarding standard practices. And what we have here, it seems to me, is, if anything, is evidence, testimony of non-standard practices.
What we have here, Your Honor, is a... It could be a little more formalized. I'm not sure that this is a best practice. But we have the police department does have a policy that they impound cars and they inventory them. That means a full inventory.
And apparently they're looking for contraband when they do that.
No, Your Honor.
That's what the officer testified to.
I think that we need to look at the officer's testimony in context. What the officer testified to was that he looked for things that were valuable and harmful, such as firearms, contraband, and meth-making materials. He looks for harmful contraband, like meth-making materials. And viewed in the light most favorable to the Commonwealth, which this court must do on appeal, that testimony does not establish a pretextual intent for the search. Instead, it shows that the officer is doing exactly what is required by the Fourth Amendment in this case. The officer is looking for things that are of value that could expose the police department to liability should they be stolen. And the officer is looking for hazards, things that could imperil someone if they're just left on the street.
Well, here's what gives me some pause here is that's Lieutenant Brown's testimony that while they have a policy to do an inventory search, how that is done is left up to the individual officer. And that doesn't sound to be very standardized to me. That sounds like it's pretty discretionary to each officer.
That was Lieutenant Brown's testimony. However, he then went on to say that they do have some standards, such as they inventory the car, which I submit means, in the light most favorable to the Commonwealth, that they search the entire car. They search the passenger compartment. They search the trunk. Now, because of Florida v. Wells, as the trial court found here, or held here, they can't go into closed containers while doing that because of the Florida v. Wells decision, because under Florida v. Wells, of course, there has to be a policy specifically addressing containers.
Well, isn't going into the pants pocket effectively going into a closed container?
No, Your Honor, because there's no evidence here that the pants pocket was in any way closed. There's no evidence that it was buttoned or anything. It's just a shorts pocket.
What's the purpose of you know, all he has to do is inventory a pair of blue jeans. I mean, if he can't go into the case of whatever kind it was, I don't understand why he can go into otherwise hidden compartments or containers, such as a pants pocket.
As the trial court found in its letter opinion, the purpose for doing that is consistent with the purposes of an inventory search. The inventory search is designed to protect the police department from claims of loss. It's very likely that there's going to be money or other valuables in a pants pocket.
But that same argument could be made to the contents of the case.
But for
you concede the officer could not look into because of the absence of some directive authorizing him to do that.
I believe that a pair of shorts on its own is reason, and again, the touchstone here is objective reasonableness in the circumstances. A pair of pants or a pair of shorts just on its own is likely to have valuables in it. I frequently find money in my laundry because I fail to go through my laundry pockets. I think it's the same kind of common sense determination, and that's really what we're looking at here. This was a close case, and I submit that the trial court's factual findings in a close case like this should not be disturbed. Here, the trial court found that there was a standardized criteria. There were established procedures, established routine police procedures. That's the language used in Florida v. Wells.
How can it be an established routine police procedure when each officer is allowed to conduct the search as they see fit?
Your Honor, I very much wish that testimony had been a little bit more developed because I think I'd be having a better day today. But that could mean that the officer starts in the back seat and works his way to the front seat, or starts in the front seat and works his way to the back seat. The important thing here is that the RPD has a consistent policy that cars are impounded and cars are inventoried. And generally speaking, an inventory search is going to cover the entire car.
You're granted all of that, Ms. Johnson, but I think the problem I'm struggling with here, I guess Judge Petty is as well, is that the point of an inventory search is the exact opposite of a criminal investigation.
Yes, Your Honor.
You know, and so when an officer says that basically I have a lot of latitude, essentially. I mean, I am paraphrasing here, no question about it. But it boils down to me, Lisa, I have a whole lot of discretion and latitude here as to how I conduct this inventory search. And one of the things I'm looking for is contraband. And you point out that I was taking that out of context, but I would direct your attention to Joint Appendix 68, where that was clarified on cross-examination. And he said, contraband is one of the things I'm looking for. I mean, not harmful contraband, but contraband, period. And so it seems to me that you know, he clarified that on cross, and it doesn't help the Commonwealth in that respect. So putting all this together, and given that the whole point of Opperman and its progeny is to permit the introduction of incriminating evidence as long as it's not pretextual for a criminal investigation to get around the Fourth Amendment warrant requirement, and we've got very vague, and I'm using that word as kindly as I can, procedures here, and we've got motivation from the searching officer, which is, I'm looking for illegal things, essentially that's what contraband is, illegal things. It seems to me we got a big Opperman / Katie issue here.
Well, first, Your Honor, I'm not conceding the thing about the contraband in any way.
I get that.
I submit that read in context and in the light most favorable to the Commonwealth, that means harmful contraband, like meth-making materials and firearms, which is certainly permissible under Opperman and under the entire community caretaking type doctrine where inventory searches grow out of. And I think I forgot the second part of your question. I apologize, Judge Humphreys.
You're from Texas. That happens to Texans a lot.
That was painful. Thank you.
I don't think I can improve on Judge Petty's response. Keep quiet.
And going on, while the policies here, as I admit, may not be the best practice, they are, however, pointed towards the purposes of an inventory search.
Okay, let me be real specific then. How, the our jurisprudence, as well as the United States Supreme Court jurisprudence, is very clear that it's not a policy. It's standardized, and I emphasize that word.
Yes, Your
police
Honor.
Police procedures.
Yes.
And what evidence can you possibly point to in this record that this was conducted in accordance with a standardized procedure of the Richlands, Virginia Police Department?
The same evidence that I pointed to on brief, Your Honor, which was Lieutenant Brown's testimony. We inventory the cars. Everyone puts the inventory on a piece of notepaper. We put the notepaper in the file. That's the record. And that's the record, Judge. And
well, that's like saying we inventory the car, and period. And that's, you know, and it's done in every case.
That's a standardized policy.
That's certainly is standard. I mean, if that's all you're going to say about it, that's standard. But I think Opperman contemplates a bit more detail than that.
And Florida v. Wells, however, talks about officers having discretion in conducting inventory searches. And the discretion is fine as long as there is enough kind of guidance to prevent it from just being a general rummaging. That's the language used in the case law. Here there's no evidence of general rummaging.
What do we make of the fact that the inventory was done the day after the car was seized, or at least the next day? Is there anything that the Richlands Police Department has to say about when this type of inventory is conducted?
No, Your Honor, and that is consistent with other Fourth Amendment cases. I cited some, I believe, Fourth Circuit cases in my brief towards the end there that discuss when it's appropriate to kind of not do the inventory search immediately or at the scene. Here,
I'm not concerned about the fact that the car was taken somewhere where there's better lighting or whatever. Of course, it was being impounded in any event.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to me if the purpose of this search was to protect the police department from claims of loss of valuable property, they would want that car inventoried as soon as possible. And if it wasn't to be inventoried as soon as possible, they'd have some directive telling the officer when it's okay to defer it.
That appears to be one of those ad hoc momentary decisions that police officers are called upon to make every day. And that is consistent with other case law. One of the cases that I cited, and I apologize,
well, protecting the Richlands Police Department from possible liability took a back seat to the officer getting off at the end of his shift. So
I don't think I'm going to comment on that, Judge Humphreys. Judge Humphreys is trying to get me into trouble.
Your time is running out.
Am I running out?
Conclusion.
Your Honors, the record here is what it is. It is the Commonwealth's position on appeal that the trial court's factual findings should not be disturbed here. There was a routine established criteria that the police department used. And for those reasons that prevented the search from becoming a general rummaging or a pretextual search, and for those reasons, Your Honor, we ask that you affirm. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Gallenbach, you have your 5 minutes of rebuttal.
Yes, sir. At some point, if the court would look at 167 in the appendix, that's the judge's opinion, and he basically says that because the officer conducted a proper search, that the policy is okay. So he's looking at just what the officer did, not the policy of the whole department. A comment that the Commonwealth made was that the lieutenant said that there are certain things that they always do. But what the lieutenant said was, well, the officers usually do this. He didn't say that the officers do this. And if he says that the officers usually do this, then that, again, is not a policy. And if there was something that needed to be cleaned up as to what these officers for the Commonwealth had to say about what they were looking for in the car and the fact that they didn't have any policy, the burden was on the Commonwealth to do that at the court hearing. And I think it's not just a matter of whether the judge got the facts wrong, and I think he got them clearly wrong, but I think he applied the wrong policy. he applied the policy of this officer did it right. And I disagree with him there, and I've got my reasons in the brief, but that's not what you look at. You look at, as the court has said, a standardized procedure, and there is none here, based on what their witnesses said. Thank you.
Thank you very much.